ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय पुरञ्जनस्वमहिषीं निरीक्ष्यावदूतं भुवि तत्सङ्गोन्मत्तिता ज्ञानो वैक्लव्यं परमं ययो. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Narada continued, "My dear King Prachinavari, as soon as King Puranjana saw his queen lying on the ground, appearing like a mendicant, he immediately became bewildered." Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, the word avadhutam is especially significant because it refers to a mendicant who does not take care of his body. Since the queen was lying on the ground without bedding and proper dress, King Puranjana became very much aggrieved. In other words, he repented that he had neglected his intelligence and had engaged himself in the forest in killing animals. In other words, when one's good intelligence is separated or neglected, he fully engages in sinful activities. I'll just say that again. When one's good intelligence is separated or neglected, one fully engages in sinful activities. Due to neglecting one's good intelligence or Krishna consciousness, one becomes bewildered and engages in sinful activities. Upon realizing this, a man becomes repentant. Such repentance is described by Narottam Das Thakur. Hari hari bipole janam gavainu manusha janam paya radha krishna na bujiya janiya shunya bishakainu. Narottam Das Thakur herein says that he repents for having spoiled his human life and knowingly drunk poison. By not being Krishna conscious, one willingly drinks the poison of material life. The purport is that one certainly becomes addicted to sinful activities when he becomes devoid of his good, chaste wife, or when he has lost his good sense and does not take to Krishna consciousness. So here in this chapter, Narada Muni is preaching to King Prachinavari, and we should learn from this chapter how to preach. He's preaching to a king, therefore he's speaking in terms that a king can understand. So, King Prachinavari may think that there is such a king as King Puranjana, but there never was such a person as Puranjana. This is simply an allegory. Sometimes, for example, we'll say something to make a strong point to people that is allegorical. Like, for example, I want to tell someone you're not the body. So how do I do it? There's many ways you can say it, but I found the most effective way is to tell a story. Because people relate to stories and they like to hear stories. So the story I tell to get them to understand they're not the body is this. I tell them that when I was a child, my father passed away, which is true. But then I add a few details that aren't true. And I say that I woke up in the morning, my mother was crying. I went to see her, "Oh, mother, what's wrong?" She said, "Daddy's gone." I didn't know what she meant, but she was so upset. I ran to the daddy's room, and I saw him lying in the bed. "No, no, he's not gone, he's sleeping." And mommy said, "No, no, no, daddy's gone." And then later, some men came to the door in a black car, wearing black suit, and they came and they took daddy away, put him in a box. And then the next day we were standing in a park and they lowered this box into the ground and people said prayers and they poured ground on top of it and put flowers there. So at that young age, I learned that daddy was not his body, that we are not the body. So when I tell the story like that, they get it. You understand? This is preaching. Preaching means you relate to people to what they can understand in their own life. So Narada Muni is speaking about another king and that Puranjana and his queen and how he used to go hunting and this and that. Everything that Maharaj Pachinabadi can understand. Similarly, when we're preaching to people, we have to understand who they are, where they're coming from, what's important to them, and what's in it for them, why we're preaching. What they're going to get from our preaching, what is the benefit to them? If we're thinking what is our benefit, like I'm going to go back to Godhead or I'm going to get the mercy of Krishna, that's not preaching. Preaching means janma sarta korikora para upakar. You dedicate your life for the benefit of someone else, for others. Para upakar. Para means others. Upakar means benefit. For the benefit of others. So you preach for their benefit. What's in it for them? In other words, preaching means to influence people. And there are different methods or different steps to influence people. The first step is that you have to be totally convinced yourself. You have to be completely 100% convinced and you have to speak with commitment. The second thing is important is emotion. You have to speak in a way that hits them emotionally. Because when you hit them emotionally, it triggers a response and they become interested. If you don't connect with them emotionally, they just get bored. Sometimes we're preaching to people, talking so much deep philosophy, and we think we're preaching, but all they're doing is looking at us and thinking, when is he going to finish? If you see people look at their watch, if you see people fidget with their hands or tap their toes, it means they just want to get away from you. So, preaching means you have to connect emotionally so that they're involved and they want to hear what you have to say. If you turn your preaching into a story that relates to your own life, they become interested because everyone is interested to hear true stories. We can embellish them with details, other facts to make the point stronger, but basically you can tell your true story or you can tell the true story of someone else, a friend of yours. But the story is what they connect with. So here is what Narada Muni is doing. He's telling the story of King Puranjan. In the purports, Prabhupada's telling us what he's really saying. What he's preaching about. There is no King Puranjan and he never had a queen. But it's the living entity, the spirit soul, who in so many bodies is sometimes a king, sometimes a queen, sometimes a pauper, sometimes a rich man, sometimes a devotee, sometimes an atheist. But every living entity is a person and you have to relate to that person. My godbrother, Pragosh Prabhu, who was one of the top book distributors of all time, He used to come up to people, establish a connection, and say, "Do you believe in God?" And if they said yes, or if they said no, then he would say, "Then you'll love this book." And he would preach to them from the point of view that they believe in God, or from the point of view that they don't believe in God, because he's now ascertained where they're coming from. He knows a little bit about them. So that's another thing you have to do when you're preaching, is that you have to ask questions and you have to listen. You have to know who that person is, where they're coming from, what they believe in, what their desires are, and what their hopes and aspirations are. Once you understand this, you can speak to them in a way that they can appreciate and understand, and you can speak to their benefit and to their desires and to their goals. So here, Narada Muni is speaking about a king, Puranjan, to another king. And he's trying to tell him what the king Puranjan did wrong so that King Prachinabari won't do wrong. This is called preaching. He's speaking for the benefit of Prachinabari. So here, we see that Prabhupada is saying that he's relating the queen to our intelligence. Every living entity is like the master of their own body, kshetragya. They control the field of activities, the mind, the body, the senses, and the intelligence, the ego. So we're the master or the king, and the intelligence is compared to the queen here. So when we neglect the intelligence, that's like neglecting your queen in terms of preaching to a king. If you're preaching to a grihastha, then you would, you know, in Russia, then you would relate it to a Russian man. If you're preaching in India, you'd relate it to a Russian, an Indian grihastha situation. You would explain what is the difference between grihastha and grihamedi. So Prabhupada's saying that one's good intelligence is one's Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada's speaking here to devotees. So our intelligence is our Krishna consciousness. That's the intelligence we've been given. Because in Kali Yuga, nobody has any intelligence. Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Everybody in Kali Yuga is born with the mentality, desires, and activities and qualities of Shudra. This is in Shastra. We're 5,000 years into this. That means we're descended from Shudra after Shudra after Shudra after Shudra. Still, in India, you will meet devotees who have been in this movement for 25, 30 years, and they'll say, "I am a Brahmin. I come from a Brahmin family." And you're thinking, after 30 years, he still doesn't get it? He's still thinking on the bodily concept of life? He's still thinking because his father was a Brahmin, he's a Brahmin? "I was born in a Brahmin family." Means nothing. Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Everybody's born Shudra. Therefore, we have no intelligence. Prabhupada told us, "I have given you your intelligence. Your intelligence now is your Krishna consciousness." But if you neglect your Krishna consciousness, if you act in a way that's the antithesis of Krishna consciousness, neglecting your Krishna consciousness, neglecting your intelligence, that's like neglecting your queen. You're neglecting your wife, just forgetting about her, allowing her just to lie on the ground in the freezing cold with no covering. So this is what Narada Muni is speaking to the king about. And Prabhupada's saying that when our good intelligence is separated from our good common sense, or when it's neglected entirely, the result is we engage in sinful activities. How does that start? It starts with I start thinking about something that is against the regulative principles. Everybody is addicted to something else. Some people are addicted to sex life, so they'll start thinking about the opposite sex. Some people are addicted to gambling, believe it or not. And they'll start thinking of games of chance and how to win money, how to invest in the stock market and all this other gambling mentality to get money. Some people are attached to eating all kinds of unmentionable items, even non-veg items. And some people are addicted to intoxication. And they start thinking about these things. Once you start thinking about it, you're in grave danger. You're now walking on thin ice. Thin ice means that the water has just recently frozen and is not strong enough to carry your weight or to carry your thoughts, to carry your desires. Thin ice, at any moment you can fall into the freezing water. So thinking, when we start thinking about these illicit activities, the next thing is your body reacts to those thoughts and you start feeling things. You get emotionally involved and your body starts going through changes that are palpable. And when you experience these changes in your body, the desire to act, thinking, feeling, and then willing. That's what happens next, and therefore we engage in sinful activities. And then Prabhupada repeats the line. He says it twice. Due to neglecting one's good intelligence or Krishna consciousness, one becomes bewildered and engages in sinful activities. He repeats it twice. We engage in sinful activities because we become bewildered. We become bewildered because we neglected our intelligence, which was given to us by Srila Prabhupada as our Krishna consciousness. Then what happens is after you engage in the sinful activity, you get to a realization that you made a huge mistake because the promise that you thought you were of a wonderful experience that you thought you were going to get turned out to be very lacking. It wasn't what you thought it was. It wasn't full, satisfying. It wasn't that enjoyable. And then you feel guilty. And then you feel repentant. And so Prabhupada quotes this song from Srila Narottam Das Thakur about repentance. Hari hari bifale janama goainu. O my Lord, Sri Hari, I have committed a great sin. I have done the wrong thing. I have taken birth, but I've tread the wrong path. Manushya janama paya, I received this valuable human form of life. Radha Krishna Navajiya, but I neglected to worship Sri Sri Radha Sham Sundar. Therefore, Janiya Shunya Bishkainu. Now I know, now I understand, now I realize, now I have heard once again, my intelligence is telling me that knowingly, in full knowledge, I'm drinking poison. Taking poison. So in this song, Narottam Das Thakur is repenting for having spoiled his human life by drinking poison in full knowledge. We can commit sinful activities in ignorance, or we commit sinful activities in full knowledge. The non-devotees who've never come into contact with Krishna consciousness, they are performing sinful activities in ignorance. The devotees who have come to Prabhupada's movement and commit sinful activities, they are committing sinful activities in full knowledge. When the non-devotee and the devotee commit sinful activities, is there the same reaction? Is it the same karmic reaction? Yes or no? No. Why? Because when you have knowledge, you have responsibility. And even in knowledge you're committing sinful activities, that's much greater offense. It's an aparad. It's the seventh aparad. There are 10, and this is the seventh aparad. Of course, there are different numbering systems I've seen, even in Prabhupada's books and lectures. There are different numbering systems, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a number, different numbering system. But in the 10 offenses numbering system, number 7 is to commit commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting Hare Krishna mantra. I'm chanting Hare Krishna mantra, but still I'm committing sinful activities. But I'm hoping against hope that because I'm chanting Hare Krishna mantra, that the sinful activity won't be counted against me. Such a mentality, Prabhupada said, is the greatest offense. Why is that the greatest offense? Because we cannot do business with Krishna. We cannot use the Maha Mantra as atonement or as an excuse for our sinful activities. Because the eighth aparad explains it very clearly. The eighth aparad is this. To consider that the chanting of Hare Krishna is one of the auspicious ritualistic activities which are mentioned in the Vedas in the Karmakanda section. What does Karmakanda mean? What is the Karmakanda section of the Vedas? It means that I do something and I get a result. So in other words, to think that Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna, is something auspicious, it's a ritual, and if I do it, I'll get a result, that's considered an aparad. How many people are surprised to hear that? Okay, so you all know. Because the reason we chant Hare Krishna is to please Krishna, to please Guru, to please the Vaishnavas. Para upakar. We chant Hare Krishna just like every other aspect of Krishna consciousness for the benefit of others. And therein, our own benefit is automatically included by Krishna. Krishna will take care of our own benefit. We have two paths. Either I can take care of my own benefit, or I forget about it, just work for the benefit of everyone else, and let Krishna take care of my benefit. Which is the better path? Which is the superior path? So let Krishna take care of it. Because Krishna says, Aham tvang sarva papebhyo, I can take away all your sinful activities. If you surrender to me, make me number one. We cannot take away even one sinful activity. It's there. We carry it with us, life after life after life after life, birth after birth after birth after birth. But Krishna says, if at once you surrender completely and make me number one in your life, I'll take away all your sinful activities, every single one from the past, the present, and the future. And the future means the seeds of sinful desires that are still in the heart, that when you get to the future, you'll commit those sinful activities. What else can Krishna do? Why else is it a better idea to let Krishna take care of our benefit? Mokshishyami. He can give us moksha. He can deliver us out of the material realm and take us back home, back to Godhead, back to enter into His Nitya Leela. We can't do that, but He can do that. So let's let Krishna make the decisions. Let Him take care of our benefit. What's another reason why we should let Krishna do it? Anybody? I can't hear. Well, don't worry. Krishna is saying, don't worry, I'll take care of everything. This is true. Sorry? Everything Krishna does is perfect. Everything we do is imperfect. Very good. Here's a couple of other ones. Didami buddhi yogam tam. Krishna will give you the pure intelligence of yoga, yena mam upayanti te, so that you can come to Him. He will give us that. What else will Krishna do? Yoga kshemam vaham yaham. He will protect whatever you've done in bhakti yoga, and He'll carry what you lack. Someone asked this question once, because Prabhupada in a class in 1975 in Los Angeles, I was there in that class, he said that if you follow all my instructions as I have given to you, I guarantee that at the end of this life, you go back home, back to Godhead. So in the Brahmacharya Ashram, the devotees were asking questions. One devotee said, well, what if I'm not 100% pure? What if I'm only 90% pure at the end of this life? How can I go back to Godhead? And someone else said, how can Prabhupada give such a guarantee? But here in this verse, Bhagavad Gita 9:22, Ananyas chintayantu mam yejana prayupashate. Any person who worships Krishna, making Him number one, having no other thought, no other desire, no other feeling, no other activity, except for Krishna, then Krishna will carry what you lack and preserve what you have. Carry what you lack. At the university, if you get 90% on your exam, it stays 90% forever. But in Krishna consciousness, at the end of the life, you only have 90% purity. Krishna says, don't worry, I'll carry what you lack. I'll carry the 10% back to home, back to Godhead. Sri Krishna ki jai, hari hari bol. And Prabhupada gave us that guarantee. Now how can Prabhupada give such a guarantee? Because it's Krishna that does it. Well, just like Krishna says to Arjuna, declare it boldly, Arjuna, name bhakta pranashati, my devotee shall never perish. I'm sure that since Prabhupada never speculates, he never says anything that's unauthorized, therefore I'm 100% convinced that Krishna told Prabhupada, declare it boldly, Srila Prabhupada, if they follow your instructions, you can give them a guarantee, I will take them back home, back to Godhead in this life. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki, Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki. So Prabhupada says, he sums up, he says the purport, the entire purport of this is that one certainly becomes addicted again to sinful activities when he becomes either A, devoid of his good chaste wife, if you're a grihasta, or B, when you've lost your good sense and intelligence and stray from the path of Krishna consciousness, if you're not a grihasta. So why is a good chaste wife compared to the intelligence? Well, Lord Chaitanya preached to his Nitya Parshad, to his eternal associates, you should never be alone. Because when you're alone, you associate with your mind and the objects of the senses, and you can get swept away. But when you have an associate, a partner, another devotee who's always there, then you can take shelter of that person. In other words, when I'm in Maya, that other person won't be. And when that other person's in Maya, or then I won't be. So this way we help one another. Well, someone will say, well, what if a husband and wife are both in Maya? Well, we can say they're also in this Kali Yuga, where two men also both fall into Maya too. We've seen it. It's happened. Not only happened in our movement amongst the general populace, but amongst the sannyasis and amongst the gurus. It happens. So we must be real, genuine Hare Krishna devotees and always have good association, and we can always maintain really good association by taking shelter of Krishna in the form of His holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So first we stop thinking about Maya. And we start taking shelter of the holy name. What I tend to do, which may be helpful for you, is if I'm alone, then I have kirtan in my head. I'm in a temple, or I could be at a festival. There's hundreds of devotees there. I got the best kirtan people with me. Madanga, and cartels, and singers, backup singers, people are responding. I'm leading a kirtan, my favorite melody. I'm singing my heart out, all in here. In other words, I'm the director of my own movie. That can be your movie, that you're leading an amazing kirtan, or your movie can be, you can be directing the movie of you approaching someone of the opposite sex and getting involved in illicit activities. You're the director of your movie. Which movie is going to happen in your head? It's up to you. You can direct another movie that in your mind you're going out and you're preaching to people. This is another thing that I do. I come up with preaching strategies or tactics. Tactics means how to apply a strategy. So if a person says so-and-so, they give an excuse. Well, I can't take this book because I don't have any time. I have to talk to my wife. You know, I don't have any money with me. People say like that. Then in my mind, I'm preaching, I come up with answers to those points. And then in my mind, a dialogue takes place. They're giving excuses and I'm answering and countering those excuses with the mood to benefit them. What if you don't take this book? What are you doing in your life now? Are you fully satisfied? Are you living your dreams? Are you now at the place where you dreamed you would be when you were a child? If not, why not? What did you do wrong? What is the problem? How can we fix it? Read this book. This will solve your problems. Now there's one other thing that we have to be very conscious about. And that is this. That when we preach to people, the first thing that they're thinking is this. They look at you, they hear you speaking, and they're not listening, they're just thinking, do I want to be like this person? If they don't like you, if they don't want to be like you, they couldn't care what's in the book. All they're thinking is, how do I get away from this person? But if they like you, if they think, I would like to be like this person, why would they like to be like you? Because you're gentle, you're kind, you're sweet, you're offering them sweet words, you're glorifying them, you're listening to what they have to say, you're speaking for their benefit, you're connecting with them emotionally, you're speaking a story that they're interested in, that they can relate to in their own life. And they think, this person, he's got some benefit from that book. Maybe I can also get some benefit. But if you're pushy, if you're just countering the arguments, if you're coming from the place of ego, they also dig in their heels and they also come from a place of ego and they're thinking, I don't want to be like this. If this is the way you became from that book, I'm not interested. So we have to learn how to connect to people, not intelligence to intelligence, not mind to mind, not ego to ego, not body to body, but soul to soul, heart to heart. When I'm coming from my heart, they'll put all their defenses down and they'll come from their heart. And this is what Narada Muni is doing. He's taking all the defenses down and he's speaking about another king, King Puranjana, who went through all these similar problems that King Prachinabharishat went through. And he's going to give the solution, and the king is very interested. Wow, I need to hear this, you know. This is a benefit to me. Thank you so much, Naradaji. You understand? Is it all clear? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Are there any questions? Okay, can you give the gentleman a microphone to ask so we can all hear his question, please? There's a microphone behind you, Prabhu Drishta.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Vayashaki Prabhu, for the nice class. I have a concern, and I cannot see how valid it is, still I ask. When people from experience deal with children, like school teachers, say primary school teachers, for years and years they deal with the level of the children, day and homework and on, so it is seen, studies show that their level of thinking becomes like them. So they are retired people, but they are childish because they have been talking childish things to children all their whole life. So a concern in dealing with people, most people in preaching are not that intellectual or that philosophically inclined, and we speak according to their level, all and on. Is there a risk that the same thing happens, that we come out like unbaked or compromised or just naive in many ways?
Interesting question. Does everybody understand the question? Okay, first thing, when you speak to a child, we're not speaking childishly. We're speaking emotionally at a level that he can appreciate and understand. That's good training. We need to speak to people at a level they can understand and emotionally. When you speak to a child, you speak with heart, with care, you're caring. You want to do something for the benefit of that child. Now, a person who is unfit to deal with children gets very impatient, gets quickly upset, becomes angry, because he can't relate to that child's level of consciousness. In other words, the preacher doesn't know how to relate to other people's level of consciousness. If you can relate to a child's level of consciousness, that's really good, because now you can relate to an adult. Now you can relate to an old person, an old man, an old woman. Now you'll be able to relate to a Russian, to an Indian, to a Chinese, because you've learned how to relate to another person emotionally, at their level, in a caring way for their benefit. And that's what preaching is.
My point is that if that is an ongoing thing, I'm making the point that most people are not that intellectual. So if the preaching goes on that level, constantly you meet people who are not that inclined for spiritual life, and we talk to their level, just make sure they're not getting an overload, that then our own way of thinking comes to their level.
So does our own level of thinking come down to the level of thinking of the general populace who have no understanding? Only if you don't chant Hare Krishna that will happen. If you chant Hare Krishna, you'll always stay on a transcendental purified platform. If you don't chant Hare Krishna, then you will be influenced by their mundane perceptions. But if you're chanting Hare Krishna without offense, I must say, then you will influence them with your transcendental perspective. That's how Prabhupada influenced us, by his transcendental perception. The devotees that bloop, that leave this movement, even though they're our leaders, is because they became influenced by the mundane perception, by hearing and from others who were mundaners and not chanting offenselessly. I consider that if you chant with offenses, you're not really chanting. Then why do I consider that? Because for me, that's what I want in my life. I want to chant offenselessly. If I chant inattentively, I consider that I'm not chanting. Because if I consider that offensive or inattentive chanting is actually chanting, then I'm committing the eighth offense, because I'm thinking I'm going to get a benefit because this is an auspicious ritualistic activity. I'm also committing offense because it's inattentive. Inattentive is an offense in itself. If I'm chanting inattentively, I'm committing an aparad, and nobody makes advancement. Nobody gets Krishna prema. No one becomes pure by committing aparad 2 hours every day. Clear? In the beginning, we all come with an offensive mentality. That's okay. Krishna understands that. So then we have to come to the clearing stage where we start clearing out all these aparads. If we don't come to the clearing stage and we remain on the offensive stage after 20 years, after 30 years, after 40 years, we're still at square one. We haven't made any advancement. But we're thinking, well, I've been in this movement for 20, 30 years. I'm doing pretty good. But now you're still at square one. All we've done is become expert at what we do. Because if you do anything over and over again, day in, day out, you become expert at it. If you play drums every day, you become an expert drummer. If you make money every day, you become expert at making money. If you do puja every day, you become expert at doing puja. If you preach every day, you become expert at preaching. But are you Krishna conscious? Are tears coming to your eyes when you chant the holy name of the Lord? Is your hair standing on end? Is there trembling in the body? Is there perspiration? Because if not, your heart is steel framed. Your heart is as cold as ice and as hard as stone, according to the Shastra. So, Krishna consciousness is not a process of doing something every day and becoming good at it. It's a process, Prabhupada called it, an affair of the heart. Our heart becomes soft. Our heart becomes pure. Our heart becomes gentle. Our heart becomes kind. Our heart is only concerned with the benefit for other living entities. And we're not on the ego platform that I'm advanced. I'm a Prabhupada disciple. Oh my God, what does that mean? I never saw that in any shastra. What does that mean, I'm a Prabhupada disciple? Does that mean anything? Maybe in his mind it means something. What does it mean to him that I deserve respect, I deserve honor, I deserve distinction? But sarva upadhi vinur muktam, the pure devotee is free from all these upadhis. He's still at square one, and he's advertising, I'm at square one, and I've been doing this for over 40 years. He's not even conscious of how he's representing himself. Someone says, I'm a sannyasi. He's in the same platform. He's relating to the body. Someone says, I'm a woman. You're thinking you're the body. You're not thinking your spirit soul. So we have to actually chant offenselessly before we get these realizations, because right now it's only information. You want it to become knowledge, and you want that knowledge to become wisdom. It's a process, and it comes through pure chanting, offenseless chanting. No other way. No other way. No other way. Harinama, 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 eva kevalam kalon, nascheva, 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 gatiranyata. Confirmed. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.